Now we are moving to the next session presentation with Brandon Bloom. As he comes up, a small reminder to please silence your cell phones and other devices, please. So Brandon is going to talk about a resurgence of the capital gain exclusion under Section 1202. Brandon is a tax attorney in the Holland & Knight's Dallas office. He focuses on providing sophisticated tax planning for private equity fund formation and structuring, mergers and acquisitions, divestitures, restructurings, joint ventures, and financing transactions. Mr. Bloom advises private equity funds and their portfolio companies, hedge funds, family offices, and public companies, as well as closely held private companies and partnerships. He represents clients in a variety of industries and has significant experience advising clients in the energy and real estate sectors.
Thank you. Well, they really kind of double whammied you with two tax presentations right back to back. Oh. Thanks for enduring it. I'll try to keep it as interesting as possible. I think this topic is actually pretty interesting to anybody who advises small businesses, founders, anyone who buys or sells small businesses. It's a pretty interesting space. So I called this a resurgence of this topic because this section of the tax code's been there for a long time, but it's gotten really popular in the last couple of years. It's funny how just dynamics of changing tax laws changes the way people think about laws that have been around for a long time that haven't changed, but because other laws have changed, all of a sudden this looks enticing again. And this one in particular, Section 1202, has to do with small businesses that are owned in C-Corp form. And that might make you wonder why we're talking about C-Corps, because this is a conference focused on LLCs and partnerships. But it's important for a couple of reasons. One is even an LLC or partnership can elect to be a C-Corp for federal tax purposes. And so you may have a business that's owned and operated through an LLC or partnership for non-tax reasons or maybe state tax reasons, but you may want it to be a C-corporation for federal tax purposes. And 1202 might be one of those reasons. So 1202 kind of should enter the discussion of any time you're wondering what type of entity I should form to own a business or acquire a business or start a new business. And there's also structures where you might have a C-Corp that owns and operates the business, but you have a holding company on top that might be a pass-through. And so 1202 is still relevant to these types of partnership and LLC structures. So we're going to talk about what is 1202, when does it apply, and what are the benefits of it, and then kind of some considerations. There's definitely some pros and cons to weigh. There's a little bit of factors you have to look at on the outset to make sure it's a good structure going forward. Because the one thing you're already aware of probably is that once you go into a C corp structure, it's hard to get out of it. So you want to be sure it's a good structure going into it. And then we'll talk about how pass through entities might be incorporated into the structure as well. Okay, so what does 1202 do? If you qualify, this is a way for you to sell C corp stock and not pay tax. That's the gist of it. You get to exclude 100% of your capital gain of C-Corp stock if it is what is defined as qualified small business stock, and you have held that stock for 5 years at least. This is a complete tax exclusion. It's not just a deferral mechanism. You're probably familiar with a lot of the various deferral mechanisms in the tax code, like 1031 exchanges for real estate and other things like that, where you might not recognize tax on a particular transaction, but that tax will happen at some point in the future. Well, 1202 is different than all of those in that you can completely cash out and not pay any tax ever.